the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of the Rich Keefe Show is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. It's fast, it's easy, it's free.
Here we go, now holla if you hear me though. It's the Rich Keefe Show. Here we go, you're now rocking with the Rich Keefe Show on your radio.
You're about to hear the chronicles from a topical, comical, and knowledgeable Boston sports talker, dropping it hotter than a tropical climate. Breaking news, he supplies it, and you want the truth? Scoops Keefe will find it. Scoops. He's talking about all the sports, and he's also a hashtag dork. And the father of two sweet daughters, the leader of your squad for you evening marauders and night commuters. Tune in and sit tight, 6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight, ow. The mic's hot on the Night's Watch crew. Celtics, Bruins, Pats, and Red Sox too. Doing this since the Rich Keefe Project. Now he's got podcasts and Twitch stream content. KWFE on WEEI. It's the Rich Keefe Show, so here's your guy.
All right, welcome into the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI, a full tank program for you tonight, 6 to 10. You can join us throughout the evening at 617-779-7937. We got ourselves, once again, a lot to talk about, as what a weekend. What a weekend we just had. Game 7 between the Bruins and the Leafs, and then the Tom Brady roast in consecutive nights. And I'll tell you what, they had a lot in common. There was a lot of tense moments in each, and both went way better than I thought they would. I did not expect the Bruins to come back and win Game 7, so happy to see that. Once again, facing the Toronto Maple Leafs was exactly the medicine that they needed. And then the Brady roast, which we're going to discuss a lot throughout the evening. Fitzy's going to join us in a little bit throughout the rest of the night. We'll pick that thing apart quite a bit. It was great, like as a quick thought. It was fantastic. A little long, sure, but it was hilarious. But let's start with the Bruins. Game 7 and Toronto Maple Leafs. We talked so much on Friday leading up to it about, all right, which team's history is going to come into play more? Is it the Bruins losing these Game 7s, blowing these 3-1 series leads, 3-0 series lead in one case? Or is it going to be the Maple Leafs who, yeah, they got out of the first round a year ago, but for the most part, this is a team that gets knocked out in the first round, has no playoff success at all, and the Bruins have had their number. So like, all right, which is going to be which? Toronto scores first, and I'll tell you what, Stiz, this was our thing. Bruins down a goal compared to up a goal might have been exactly what they needed. Kind of like a little kick in the shorts.
That's what I was thinking the whole time.
They scored pretty quickly thereafter. I think they were playing a little bit better, and then Jeremy Swayman has been insane. Jeremy Swayman has been probably the best player in the postseason? I mean, I haven't watched every single game of every single series, but just overall, I don't know if there are many players in the NHL playoffs through round one who have been better than Jeremy Swayman. The guy's been electric. And I know there's been some talk today about whether or not he should be in net tonight. I'm like, excuse me? Excuse me? Like, no matter what side of the goalie situation you were pre-Toronto series, I don't know how anybody on God's green earth can suggest that Jeremy Swayman not start game one tonight. Now, it's going to be Swayman, but there was discussion. There's like, I heard multiple people, I saw on Twitter, that people were like, give Ullmark a go. Andrew Raycroft was even saying, give Linus a go. I'm like, wait, huh? even if you thought the platoon was a good idea, which I did, I fully admit, going into the playoffs, I was like, they need to try something a little bit different. Everything they've done has not worked for them, so I would alternate the goalies. They did not do that. They did it once, and then they were like, all right, we're going to go with Swayman. Jim Montgomery kind of tipped his hand. I believe it was after game three when he said that Swayman was in the head of the Maple Leafs. So I was like, all right, well, you're not going to take him out then. So they kept him in there, and the guy had an unbelievable series. Played six of the games and was awesome. And so Linus didn't play bad at all in game two. Like, I wasn't freaking out about that because he played pretty well, but there was something different about Swayman. And now you're like, well, yeah, give him a little bit of a breather. It's like, no, the guy's hot as a pistol. He's definitely the best goaltender, maybe the best overall player in the playoffs. So I'm definitely starting him tonight and seeing if he's going to be the guy that either that wins you the game, wins you the series, or whatever else. So that is crazy to me that there's even a debate on that. Because either you were pro just Swayman, or you were like me and thought you could alternate him, but they stopped doing that early on, and the guy hasn't had a bad game. Even in the losses, Swayman has not played poorly. So I think that's a no-brainer. If you feel differently, though, I'm all ears. You know, we're here for 4 hours, so feel free to jump in on that. The other big story, clearly from the game, was the guy who scored the game winner, and that was David Pastrnak. Friday night show, we spent a lot of time talking about the overwhelming similarities between David Pastrnak and Jason Tatum. Two studs in the regular season, two young guys that are at the top of the league, maybe not the best player in the league, but not too far down. Tatum's going to be All-NBA first team again. Pastrnak has been he's led the league in goals. He was fifth in points this year. So two guys that have just been dominant in the regular season. Both have had one trip to the respective finals and lost. And then, you know, Tatum's had more overall playoff success as far as team success, right? He's only been bounced out of the first round once, where with Pastrnak it's been multiple times. However, playoff time, you're waiting for the signature moment. You're waiting for, all right, you're the best player on the team. You gotta put the team on your back at times. And Tatum really hasn't done it. And I'm not even just talking about this playoff run. I'm talking about overall, right? This playoff run, he hasn't needed to. He probably won't need to in this next round against Cleveland either. But Pastrnak did. There was a moment where Pastrnak absolutely did. And I don't know, you can't do a whole lot better than scoring the game-winning goal in Game 7 in overtime. Like, if you were drawn up, like, all right, well, how is Pastrnak going to do it? How would you know it's a clutch play or a signature moment? I don't know. I think Game 7 overtime kind of fits the bill pretty nicely. So he does that. The Bruins also kind of catch a break. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying they definitely lose the game, but the Maple Leafs stumbled into some really good goaltending. And the Wall had to come out. He got hurt, like, out of nowhere. I'm like, wait a minute, he's out? And Samsonov, he played better, certainly, in Game 7 than we saw earlier in the series. But that was kind of a shot in the arm. And then, oddly enough, Austin Matthews, the Maple Leafs seemed like they were better without Austin Matthews. And he comes back in the lineup, and, yeah, he's probably not 100% or anywhere near 100%, but he comes back in, and they lose. But massive series win for the Bruins, because you would have had to assume, I know I assumed, that Jim Montgomery would have been done. Not that it was all on his, you know, head, but it's so easy in the NHL and all professional sports, but especially in the NHL, they're like, oh, something didn't go right, coach is fired. Like, okay. They rarely give coaches any kind of, like, wiggle room or another season or anything like that. So Jim Montgomery would have been gone. The roster, it would have been tough to make a whole lot of moves, but I'm sure they would have been looking at it and trying to figure it out. And it doesn't mean like, oh, they, you know, throw a parade for them because they're in the second round. But after last season, 3-1 lead, blow it after the best regular season of all time. This year, 3-1 lead, and we're that close to blowing it. That would have been really tough. And how about the stat that was floating around? No team has ever, and this will remain the same now, but no team has ever lost, or no franchise has lost, 3-1 series leads in back-to-back seasons. So they were almost a first for the worst reason. But they didn't. So Jim Montgomery, I think, is going to be here. Now, if the Bruins get waxed by Florida in four games, maybe we have to rethink things. Maybe it'll be a little bit different. But I think he's here. I think he at least saved his job. But now apparently there's the goalie discussion once again, which I find a bit strange. But now that they're playing Florida, you're looking at this, it's like, all right, the team that just knocked you out and embarrassed you a year ago, and then boom, you get a chance to play Florida again. And with all these playoff series, it doesn't usually take long to have sort of a hatred for the other team, or, you know, hockey more so than the other sports. Like, you build that instant rivalry, and it's not going to be hard with Florida. Not at all. So can Pastrnak and Swayman kind of keep the momentum going? Because if those guys are clicking, and Pastrnak actually finished the series, like, that's the thing that's a little bit misleading about Pastrnak. He actually finished the series with, 5 points? He had 5 points in 7 games, and it just felt like you could have gotten a little bit more out of him. But he at least calms everybody down, scores that game winner. Is he going to be a big factor in this series against Florida? They're obviously going to need him. Marchand led the team in points. He had eight in the 7-game series. So he was great. And then Hampus Lindholm, who had the assist on the game winner. Not the best series overall for him, but he had a good game 7. So you're like, all right, I'll take that. And then hopefully that will sort of carry over into this series. Meanwhile, for Florida, I mean, they got to be the favorite in this series. You know, Matt Tkachuk, nasty. He was so good in the series against the Bruins last year. Had a good first round. They only needed 5 games to move on from Tampa Bay. And so they got the first couple of games down there in Florida. At this point, you'd have to say, all right, advantage Panthers. But I wonder how many of you out there are picking the Bruins, and not just with your heart and like you're rooting for the Bruins, sure, but how many do you think they have a realistic chance of winning this series? Or is it they beat Toronto because it's Toronto, and now they're going up against a buzzsaw? I mean, Florida kind of was that team that you didn't really want to face in the first round last year, clearly, and then they went on a nice run. This year, they're playing a lot better. They had a great regular season. They actually finished strong, unlike the Bruins, who kind of laid down, got the matchup they wanted, and it clearly paid off. But Florida wins the division. They get home ice now in this series, and I mean, I'm picking Florida, but then again, I was wrong about Game 7, so hopefully I'll be wrong about this as well. But I think Florida is just going to be a tough matchup. Good goalie matchup with Jeremy Swayman and Sergei Bobrovsky. At least I assume it's going to be Swayman the whole time. But Swayman Bobrovsky is solid. Like, that is a conference final type of matchup. So if you want to weigh in on the Bruins and your confidence level in the Bees following their Game 7 win over the Maple Leafs, feel free at 617-779-7937. Another big topic throughout the evening is going to be the roast of Tom Brady, which was a massive success.
Awesome.
To do a live roast, regardless of who was being roasted and regardless of who was like up on the dais, kind of risky. Like,
it could get dicey.
How could that, you know, how is that going to play out? Plus, you had to feel like this is probably going to run a little bit long. I don't know if they envisioned 3 hours off the jump, but like, you're not cutting anything down. And like, if these guys decide to go off script or go off prompt, you're like, hey,
well, that's why I love the Gronk thing, and we can get into it later. Yeah, but yeah, Kevin's like, ah, Gronk, come on. Yeah. Like, we got to keep it
sound
moving.
Sound it out, Gronk. So that was great. Hashtag Dork, me and Davey and the Six Rings podcast, Fitzy and Hart. We did a full breakdown right after it was done. You can check it out on either one of the podcasts on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. But Fitz, you'll be joining us shortly, and we'll take a deep dive once again into the roast, because I think there's a lot to pick apart there. It's obviously the jokes and whatever, and like, that's fun. Most of it we can't replay here on the radio. But also just sort of like the body language and sort of the awkwardness and sort of some of the surprises that were there, all the Patriots and Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. Like, it was a pretty fascinating night, to be sure. All of that's on the table for you. Also, the Celtics have their second-round opponent. They will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers starting tomorrow, game one here at the Garden. But you guys can weigh in on all of it, 617-779-7937. It's the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI. Right now, here is Stiz with What's Trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending sponsored by FindMassMoney.gov.
The second round of the playoffs begins tonight for your Boston Bruins as they are in Florida taking on the Panthers. Puck drops from the Amerant Bank Arena at 8 p.m. Bruins are looking to get revenge after the Panthers knocked them out of the first round last year after being down 3-1. Jeremy Swayman expected to get the start for your Bruins. Celtics will now face the Cavs in the second round of the Eastern Conference semifinals. The Cavs beat the Magic last night in Game 7, 106-94. Kristaps Porzingis, he remains out for tomorrow night's game. Everyone else for your Boston Celtics good to go. Tip-off from the TD Garden tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Red Sox avoided the sweep by the Twins. Boston left Minnesota with a 9-2 victory yesterday. The Red Sox have the night off tonight. They'll begin a 2-game series against the Braves starting tomorrow night in Atlanta. First pitch from Truist Park at 7:20. Cutter Crawford expected to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. Rich Keefe will get you ready for the game with the MassMutual pregame show starting at 6:20. Don't forget, you can catch the pregame as well as the game right here on WEEI, or you can download the Odyssey app right now and listen wherever you go. And some Patriots news. Per Mike Reese, quarterback Nathan Rourke has been informed he will be waived by New England. Patriots claimed Rourke off waivers from the Jacksonville Jaguars in the lead-up to Week 16 last season. And the Patriots have also officially begun the search for their general manager, Elliot Wolf. The Patriots director of scouting has been the de facto GM since Bill Belichick's departure. He is considered a candidate for this role, and his work over the past 4 months will be key in his evaluation. Again, trending brought to you by findmassmoney.gov. There's lots of things to celebrate this month, from Mother's Day to Memorial Day, and finding money you didn't even know you had. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. It's fast, it's easy, it's free. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Rich Keefe Show coming up.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Say WEEI is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
Everybody loves the roast of the goat. The Brady Jones had him rocking the boat. There was Drew and Jules and even Coach Bill. They stepped to the stage and were ready to kill. Nobody worry about looking like an ass. Even when Gronk spiked that shot glass. Goat roast! Yeah, yeah, the goat roast!
We gon' be. There you have it. Goat roast by AI. Joining us now, the architect behind such a song, it's Nick Fitzy. Steven, it's Fitzy, how are you?
I'm going to switch my handle from Fitzy GFY to Fitzy GFAI.
Yeah, that's it.
These songs are bangers, just one after another, man. I'm telling you, two hits in the virtual studio and boom.
That's not bad. Yeah, the greatest roast of all time, the Groat, took place last night, and it was fantastic. I went in with very low expectations, and I wasn't even probably planning on watching it live until I heard Belichick was a part of it. And I'm like, all right, well, now I got to see what's going on here. Like, whether it's good, bad, or in between, we're going to be talking about it because Bill's there. And then, holy smokes, it was, with maybe just two exceptions, fantastic. Fantastic television.
Yeah, I know last night when we all met up and did the crossover of the century with the hashtag Dork slash Six Rings and Football Things review of the Groat last night. Thank you to everyone who tuned in, by the way. That was a smash and a blast. I remember one of the things we were talking about was, wow, this was it you who said that this felt like the Zack Snyder cut of the Tom Brady roast?
Yes. Yeah. The Snyder cut. It was like, it took forever, but I kind of had a feeling it might go that way because
3 hours.
It was live. It was live. Every other roast I've ever seen, I think, were all the Comedy Central ones, and they clearly were not live, and they could trim whole people out if they wanted to.
Sure.
And give you an hour. Like, you know, an hour with commercials, and here you go. Whereas they just started right at 8 and then weren't off the air until like 11:05. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there, and you're counting, and you're like, all right, there are still people up on the stage that haven't spoke yet. You know Brady's going to have is gonna talk at the end. They already advertised Ben Affleck, so which we can get to. But you were like, all right, you're like counting it down. You're like, oh, they're not going to end this by 10. They're not going to end this by 10:30. It just kept going.
Yeah, It was definitely an Apatow length for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
But that said, like, if your only quibble with the Tom Brady roast was that it was a measure too long and could have come in better live, unfiltered at 2 hours, 15 minutes or 2:20 instead of 3 hours. Okay, I can understand that. But the quality, as we sit here and go back and forth about quantity, the quality was outstanding. So much so, two things occurred to me today. A, I had to go back over so many different Twitter feeds. I didn't have time to rewatch the entirety of the roast. But I went back over so many different feeds,
yeah,
like myself, who grabbed and aggregated and shared lots of their favorite jokes and clips and performances of the night, just to try to remember how many good jokes. Like, there was...
Oh, my God.
We were inundated. Yeah. There were literally almost too many good jokes. And then some of my buddies that are roast writers or some comedians I used to know that worked on the show just started publishing jokes that didn't get used that they wrote for the roast yesterday.
God.
And they were fantastic as well. But my biggest takeaway from all this, and I mean this sincerely, in thinking about just how significant last night was, you know, tapping into some people that worked on the roast, getting a vibe from some writers that... It was a smash. Netflix is thrilled. It may be one of their most viewed pieces of non-cinematic content of all time.
Besides Stranger Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like...
Not counting Stranger Things. It's our most watched thing. Yeah, it might be. Like, it was
no,
great.
No, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, the players were happy. The writers were happy. I know Brady was thrilled with how it went, surprisingly so.
maybe not at first, but then he kind of was
well,
like...
No, I think actually the intel that I got on the Tom Brady, Jeff Ross, I wouldn't call it an altercation. We'll call it an engagement.
No, but a little like, yeah.
The whole like, yeah, no, you know, cut that S out when talking about Mr. Kraft.
Was he joking or was he mad?
That was actually, that it may have actually been a work.
Oh, like he was
scripted in like, okay, we know at some point somebody's going to make a massage joke. Let's have Jeff Ross, the roast master, who's kind of like a Teflon roaster.
Yep.
Let's have him make it. Tom will come up Will Smith style and say, cut it out, and then we'll just sort of keep carrying on. So that may have actually been worked into the presentation by the writers Brady and Ross.
I was very surprised that Robert Kraft went. I was more surprised even that Robert Kraft spoke. And
that he dropped an F-bomb?
Yeah, I having seen it, I probably wouldn't have gone if I was him. I don't think it went as well as he thought. Like, once again, we're in a situation where I don't think it went as well as he thought it did. Now, his
beloved 10-part miniseries is ridiculed and mocked over and over again, especially
correct.
By
so, I mean,
the
it
coach
was
himself
like,
who just owned last night.
No, it was like Belichick, too, because there's so many Patriots fans there. There was like a lot of, you know, celebrities in the crowd, too, but there was a lot of Patriots fans there. Belichick got like a hero's response. Like, as soon as he showed up, people were so fired up for Bill. Interesting how they did it, too. Like, he was in the very beginning, that little, like, cold open, which was a little cringy, and then...
That was hokey AF.
Yeah, right. I didn't like that. And I was a little concerned, too, that was going to be it, because they advertised Bill. You could be like, hey, Bill was there. But thankfully, that wasn't the case. But he's not sitting with everybody at first. Then he comes out, does his thing, and then he sits up there and does, and you know, throws the red flag, blows his whistle, like, all that. And it was good. But it is still, you can't tell me otherwise, it is still pretty icy between Bill and Robert.
Actually, here you go. This from our pal Mike Cadlick, who got this off the Rich Eisen show today. Jeff Ross was a guest on the Rich Eisen show today.
Nice.
Jeff Ross on if Tom Brady was actually mad that he made a massage joke towards Robert Kraft. Quote, come on, no way, he was just having fun. Robert Kraft is a father figure to him, you know? He was just showing his love for Robert Kraft, and Robert Kraft loved it. We had a great talk afterwards, and he was so happy that I gave him a shout-out and a salute. It was beautiful. So,
yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, that I think Brady would do that, because, again, that's part of it, right? Like, Belichick a few times was like, all right, go to the next joke, but, like, he still just got roasted, too, and then, you know, Kevin Hart, every time they would turn it back to Kevin Hart, he'd, like, stand up and pretend like he was mad. Like, that's part of the thing. So that makes sense.
But it's a roast. You have to, like we were talking on last night in the post show, you have to, if you don't go for it, it comes across as half-assed. And if you're just being mean for the sake of being mean without a deeper, profound appreciation for that person, if there's no pre-established relationship or joy in it, then it sounds mean-spirited, and then it makes things uncomfortable for people. And so this, this was my biggest takeaway, that in thinking about this over and over, reading a lot of the responses, watching the clips again, Rich, and then writing up a recap of it for .com today and beyond, my big takeaway from last night is The same way that Top Gun Maverick, Spielberg said to him at a party, said to Tom Cruise once famously at a party, like, you saved movies in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one was going post-COVID, and then Maverick comes out, and then it makes $1.5 billion, and everyone had to go to the movies again, especially see that one live in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think how filthy, how uncensored, how borderline X-rated this was, how raw and real it was, and how ultimately it was hilarious. I think in a lot of ways, since we have not had a good roast in almost a decade,
mm-hmm.
I think the Brady roast may have saved roast. I think this may have brought roast back to life.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I might even take it one step further. Comedy. Because for so long,
right.
So many people were so afraid. You had to be established, right? Like Dave Chappelle can still say whatever he wants, and Bill Burr can say whatever he wants. But I think for the most part, everybody's still kind of walking on eggshells because they're like, oh, are you going to go find a tweet of mine from 12 years ago or a Facebook post from 8 years ago? Or like, they're so afraid of these things that are going to be said that everybody is like quiet about stuff like that. And doesn't mean some of the things they're saying still aren't funny, right? But people are just so afraid to say it. And so you have guys and, you know, half the people up there are professional comedians. The other half aren't. They're like athletes, coaches, and like whatever else, right? And I thought it was okay to laugh at that stuff, right? Because like normally you're like, oh my God, you can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that. Even in a roast setting, we're so removed from seeing those things. And since the last roast, like you said, how many lines that people said would have gotten them like they'd lose their job over, you know? And
oh,
so
cancel culture. That
would have been all over it. And so this is going to be like,
point.
Hey, like this is, you know, not that. You know, stuff that you say on a roast, you can just come on the radio and say. Like, there's still obviously a line, but you get my point. Like, I'm with you. It saves roast for sure. There's going to be people, and they're going to do them on Netflix. And that way, too, you can do it commercial free. You can do it uncensored, right? Like, the swearing aspect of it helps. Working real blue helps. So, yeah, I thought it was huge. It was like a big, big win for comedy overall.
Yes, it was. It was a massive win for roast. It was a massive win for live comedy.
Yeah.
It was a massive win for comedy overall. And I think people's fear, I even told you guys last night in the post show, I wrote and posted a little, I had nothing to do with last night's presentation, not that I wouldn't have loved to have, but I had nothing to do with it. So I just wrote and posted my own just for the hell of it as an exercise. And I posted it on my socials last week. A bunch of jokes that I made were very similar to the ones in there. So I'll be suing all the writers.
Smart.
And but the big thing was, I was afraid, honestly, I was afraid someone with a grudge against me or someone who just thinks cancel culture is fun mm-hmm. or someone that hates the radio station would go find an offensive joke in there and then go do a tweet deep dive and then be like, I can't believe the Patriots or WEI wants to associate themselves
like,
with this piece of garbage.
Right. Because
that's exactly where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
Imagine how refreshing it was for people like yourself who love R-rated comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Me. Millions of others, Patriots fans looking for the emotional catharsis that want to hear real stories and real feelings aired out by real people on real live TV to combat cancel culture and come out and be like, no, you know what? Gronk is going to make a bunch of borderline homophobic stupid jokes. People are going to mock intelligence and ethnicity and history and plays. And the fact that Tom Brady... He made a 9/11 joke
and
also talked about Bill Belichick scurrying shirtless out of a girl's apartment at 6 in the morning. Like, everybody went for it.
The ring cam,
zero Fs.
The ring cam video was open season. It was like everything was on the table because you're always wondering with these roasts, too. And also because we haven't had one in a while, I was a little concerned. Like, maybe they said, like, hey, this is a great idea. Here are all the things you can get Brady with, but here are a few. Like, hey, just leave those alone. And because there hasn't been a roast, I'm sure the people that agreed to do it would be like, okay, fine. Like, so be it. But nope, right off the rip, Kevin Hart is talking about Giselle and the jiu-jitsu instructor. And you're like, okay, like, we're going for it. Like, we are full go. And between the crypto stuff, Alex Guerrero, the Brady's
Savage.
Kids, like Bridget Moynihan at one point, like obviously a lot of Giselle jokes. So it was great. And then having Gronk up there, like he got roasted maybe the second most. Belichick got roasted a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Good back and forth with everybody that was there. So yeah, it was excellent. Far exceeded my expectations going in. As far as like the bad, I didn't think there was a lot of bad. Ben Affleck was terrible. Ben Affleck was a big star.
Super not good.
Right? Like you want to bring him in. I think it appeals to maybe the non football fan that might be like, hey, like, Ben Affleck's here. Like, it's one of the first names they mentioned, like, in their after the intro, when they're like,
he's a legitimate A-list
massive
director,
star,
A-list actor. Yeah,
horrible. And I like him. I'm a fan of him. But
oh yeah,
what a mess. All he did, it kind of reminded me of like Jay and Silent Bob, the Jay and Silent Bob movie, when they're like going after people in the comments section. That's all he did, was like, he attacked people who tweet Brady sucks. That was like his big thing. And then he's like, hey, Belichick, like, what's your problem? I'm like, what's your problem? Like, this is horrible. And then he leaves. He was there for a second and then leaves. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, just walked out his secret executive back door.
Yeah.
Like, a buddy of mine texted me and said, like, take it from someone who knows, I'm pretty sure there could have been some Peruvian party powder involved in Ben Affleck's performance.
Yeah, something going on. He was
definitely was kind of weird.
Moving his lips around a little bit. He didn't seem right there. I guess there are some rumors with he and J-Lo. Maybe something's going on there, too.
Well,
so,
you know what? If you were involved, if you saw the movie that she put out recently, there could be some things going on in that relationship. I'd understand.
It's
pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think she's really at the
Met Gala. I don't know if Ben Affleck's at the Met Gala. He was just in L.A., so I don't know what's going on there. Also, as much as it pains me to say it, because I am a massive, massive fan.
Ron Burgundy.
Well, I was going to say Randy Moss.
Oh, yeah.
Moss was worse than Burgundy. Randy Moss was, I think Davey said it last night, it was like he didn't understand the assignment. It was like, hey, we just go up there, like, you got, like, no, maybe have somebody write a couple things for you. Like, he went up there, he had the decent line about, you know, how you guys cheated before me, you cheated after, how come you didn't cheat with me? That wasn't bad. But he just begged Brady for a ring, and you're like, okay, all right.
Yeah, how come we didn't cheat? How come we didn't cheat when I was there?
Yeah, that's kind of it.
That's kind of funny. But then, like, everyone made fun of, A, his roast, but B, his outfit.
Yep.
He got just absolutely torn apart. But to see the manner in which Belichick, Edelman, Kraft, Amendola looked like he was kind of mad. I love the fact that Belichick's like, oh, by the way, everything that you've been saying about me, Danny, all your criticisms of the way I treated you, the way I handled your salaries and everything, I've been listening and I've been keeping receipts.
So funny. Like, that is such
balls.
That is such an inside thing. That is such a niche thing. So some kid in Chicago watching this on Netflix sees Belichick turn to Danny Amendola. The kid probably doesn't even know who Danny Amendola is. Nope. Belichick's tortured him for like 2 minutes, and you're like, what is this over? Whereas Patriots fans are dying laughing. Amendola was one of the first guys to leave and trash him. Trashed him throughout the Dynasty documentary series. And then so Belichick took his time to be like, yeah, we got you. You gave us 200 yards. Then the next year, you had 200 yards. Whereas Randy Moss would say a good half. Like, yeah, Bill was great. Bill was fair. Like, just showing up, he gets more points than anybody else just for being there. Didn't think he was going to do it. And he was awesome. He was good. He had some good lines in there. He also sat up there and they had like some crazy jokes at his expense, and he just kind of laughed them off. Like, he was excellent.
You have to have really thick skin, and you have to be ready for people to come. Like, if you're going to stand up there and deliver anywhere between 1 and 10 minutes of jokes intended at the celebrity host, the dais, anyone else that possibly is involved, then you have to be ready to get it right back. And in spades. I also feel like I and many other people made some comedic discoveries last night. Like, I was not terribly familiar with Andrew Schultz, the guy who looked like he tied a woman to the railroad tracks in a previous life. Or like a supervillain from the 20s. Yeah, exactly. And also, the Hinchcliffe guy, whoever he, Tony Hinchcliffe.
Kill Tony is like this massive, massive podcast where he always has comedians on. Yeah.
Holy, I'll be subscribing after the program tonight.
He was hysterical.
Someone put out a supercut of 2 minutes of his jokes that it just, I mean, he plays with this very incisive, sharp effect delivery. And then when you watch it all just cut together, you just feel like you get assaulted.
The aw hell nah joke is one of the best roast jokes I've ever heard.
Which one was that again?
The aw hell nah, were you talking about Sam Jay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I can fully describe what it was, but that's the punchline. Now, Stiz, I saw you on Twitter say you don't like Kill Tony.
There's something about Tony Hinchcliffe that I just don't like.
Funny.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't.
Man,
it's a personal thing.
Okay. It's his face?
Yeah, it is kind of his face,
you don't like
to
his
be
face.
Honest.
Right,
yeah,
it fine.
Is. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's actually on the X platform.
He may not be.
There he is. Right? No, yep. Comedian in Texas. Okay, there he is.
All right.
He's just part of that whole, like, Joe Rogan circle of people that I feel kind of got famous, you know. He's funny. Though. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Wow. Doesn't like him. I've just seen him when I go down these, like, comedian rabbit holes on YouTube. There's a lot of times where it's just people's like on Kill Tony the podcast,
yeah,
and him just kind of
that's a cool
the breeze.
That's yeah. a cool show.
Yeah, no, I thought he was. I thought Nikki Glaser might have been the best. I thought Glaser was hysterical. Kevin Hart, the best I've ever seen Kevin Hart, whether it be stand up special MC. Or movies, he was perfect.
He set it off from the beginning. Yep. He set the tone, and I thought did an amazing job.
Jeff Ross was good, as he always is. I thought all the comedians were good. And then Julian Edelman, to me, was far and away the best non-comedian. Like, he was in that mix. He had a lot of great jokes. And he was the most comfortable up there. Like, I think that would be such a hard thing to do, to be like a, you know, you're a football player that's like, hey, read these jokes in front of thousands of people live and millions of people at home. Like, that'd be impossible. And,
so
and Edelman
here's
crushed
the one
it.
I aforementioned, Rich, at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E-J-O-Y-C-E, Jesse Joyce.
Yeah.
I used to know him back in the old New York performing days. He wrote, I threw in some jokes for the Tom Brady roast. Here's some unused ones that tickled me. His Tony Hinchcliffe joke was, Tony Hinchcliffe looks like a cartoon rat on an exterminator's business card.
Yes!
That is a good line.
You can probably tell by looking at him that Jeff Ross used to be a really hard drinker before he was born. He's got a couple about Giselle as well on there that are great, but like this will just keep on giving for ages. People will
Giselle?
Continue to use the
is
video
Giselle?
Clips.
I think it's Giselle.
Giselle. Oh, yeah, my gosh, yeah. My God, I can't believe... I mean, like, oh, you know who we haven't even mentioned yet? Forget about the Giselle and the jiu-jitsu stuff, which definitely was like a little bit of a dam breaker. It was Drew Bledsoe. Let me tell you, the way life has treated him.
Yep.
It's amazing to see him step up with the swagger and the confidence. Like, he almost developed a persona like, hey, listen, you know, I got $100 million in the bank. I got a great winery and a great life. I don't care. I know it worked out better for you,
well,
Tommy
seriously,
boy.
And if anybody is going to take your job, maybe the greatest player of all time, right? Like, he didn't lose his job to some bum who lost the job 2 years later, right? Like, he lost to the greatest player of all time, and he still played well and had a football career. It's not like Bledsoe never played again after 0-1.
Which he was quick to remind Belichick. He's like, hey, Bill, when I got fired, at least someone wanted to hire me.
That was pretty good. Bill on ZipRecruiter looking for jobs. All right, you can weigh in on the roast. Also, certainly the Bruins. Game 7 on Saturday night. Game 1 tonight. So whatever your thoughts are on the Bruins, 617-779-7937. Plus, we'll mix in a bet du jour. Coming up next, it's the Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy here on WEEI.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI, Fitzy in the house on this full tang Monday night. You can join the program at 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones before we get to our bet du jour. We got Mike in Florida. He's up next. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Scoops. Fitz,
what's up?
Nice to talk to you. Mm-hmm. It is great to have a full tang.
Sure is.
It's sometimes I'll forget the schedule, and when I hear the abbreviated intro song, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, same.
There we go.
Same.
Because that's the first hint.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I always tell you just to get started, is that thank you for understanding that sports is an escape and that we can have some fun with it too. And you're one of the few guys that still believes that sports can be fun and you don't have to have a heart attack over it. Secondly, regarding last night, talk about fantastic. I mean, for Patriots fans, I've heard it all day. It's Patriots porn for us Patriots fans because we get all the inside jokes. But living down here near Tampa, it's fascinating. Of course, everybody hated Brady and Belichick down here until Brady came, right? Mm-hmm. And then they loved Brady. But everyone continued to hate Belichick. And it was interesting around the office today, so many people could know I'm a Patriots fan were like, you know, that Belichick, he's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. He's an interesting guy. He's an engaging guy. People were saying that, you know what, Bill has a real future outside of football. Well, I'm not outside of football, outside of coaching. And it was just interesting to see the non-Patriots' reaction to Bill. They were surprised, and they, now they're all like, we love this guy. Just interesting. I thought I would let you know from deep in Buccaneer country.
No, thank you, Mike, for the call. That interesting perspective good on stuff. That as well. Yeah, Belichick has, even though no NFL team wants him to be their head coach, he's come out of this thing smelling like a rose. He was great on College Game Day all those months ago. He was great with McAfee during the draft. He's going to get me to watch the freaking Manning cast. I would never watch the Manning. I can't stand Peyton and Eli Manning. I never will be able to stand those guys. But now, Bill Belichick doing some stuff on Monday Night Football. Like, I'll probably watch that, see what he does.
Yeah, he's going to be a regular on McAfee on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
He will also, yeah, he's going to
do
be
Monday
like
Night Football,
every,
right?
Every other know. Manning cast. Yeah. Yep, yeah. He signed a deal with Omaha Productions, doing the book. You know, it's funny. It took a while for me to appreciate just how happy Tom Brady was and how good things looked for him once he went down to Tampa. And, you know, at first I was just reviled by the Tommy and Gronky webisodes and everything.
Yeah, that was
But
something.
It was when I saw him hammered on that flotilla with the his what was his seventh Lombardi in the big Tampa, you know, floating Super Bowl parade.
And then he threw the trophy to Gronk on the boat.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Vivi's like, and Vivi's just like, no, Daddy. And he's like, hey, no! YOLO, I'm Tom Brady, bitch.
Yeah.
And just throws it.
Uh-huh.
And he was so happy. He's like, damn it, you know what? He's happy now. This is good for him. This is where he needed to be. Bill Belichick was so in the thick of all of this for so long. And obviously they had wanted to make big changes that he was not on board with at Gillette and with the Patriots, that he now is getting the adulation and love that he deserves. So what? There was no great send-off party in January in that craptacular game in the snow against the Jets. What he's getting now for a victory lap is insane. And I still bet that he's going to be there June 12th. And I guarantee you, Gillette will rock when they introduce him.
Yeah.
As if somebody just scored that, like when Steph Gilmore knocked down the Dede Westbrook pass in January 2018.
It might be even a bigger ovation than Brady.
Yep.
Just because he got kicked during this dynasty thing, and people are upset with Kraft, and they are very pro Belichick right now. Mm-hmm. We'll have much more on the roast. Feel free to call in with your thoughts on this thing throughout the evening. But let's get a winner here. Bet du jour time. You got Bruins are in action tonight. You got a couple NBA playoff games. You got baseball games across the board. Fitzy, what do you got tonight for a winner?
Tempted to go to the Bruins game. I was thinking pasta anytime goal or just Bruins money line. I don't know. I feel like they're going to come in with a house money approach.
They are plus.
But I'm taking the chalk on this one. I'm going to go to the association. Zero chance the reigning NBA world champion Denver Nuggets go back to Minnesota down 0-2. And there's no juice on the money line. I think they're minus 270 tonight. I think they can win by 7 points. So give me the Nuggets covering 6.5 tonight at home against the Timberwolves.
And Rudy Gobert, I think, is questionable. I think he just had his first kid. So I don't know if he's going to be there or not for the T-Wolves. Mm. The T-Wolves haven't lost. And Anthony Edwards has been insane.
He's, you know,
the Anthony Edwards stuff is crazy. He's an all-timer.
Over 240-plus point games already in one postseason, and he just entered the second round?
He had some stat. Yeah, he had a 43 and a 40 his last two games. So game four when they swept Phoenix, he had 40. Then he had 43 in game one against Denver. He had a 36 and a 33 already. There was some stat about his age and the amount of points in the playoffs, and it was him, LeBron, Kobe, like Lou Alcindor, maybe. No, it was like an insane list that he is currently on. I'm also going to go NBA. Give me the New York Knicks to keep it going. They're home to the Pacers in game one of that series. They're 5.5 point favorites, so I'll take Jalen Brunson and the Knicks laying the 5.5. Stiz, what do you have?
Whew, sorry, I've been running around here, boys. But I am going to the Bruins game. I do like the money line, which is plus 140. However, I'm going to go the 60-minute line. Bruins plus 235.
Ooh.
Give me that 60-minute line. Give me
no,
that again,
overtime please. Doesn't count. So if it's tied after overtime, you lose that bet.
That's right.
So if they win in three periods, then it's plus 235?
Plus 235.
Man.
Wow, that's
the
nice
stockyard on me.
That's a good
about time, maybe baby. I've been waiting for that next bucket of meat.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask Rich, how I missed the first couple minutes, obviously, when I was coming back from Little League practice, and I'm not sure exactly how much Bruins you did on top. Did you see that Jeremy Swayman stat that Boston Sports Info posted?
No, but is it about comparing him to like Tim Thomas, or is it, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I know we got plenty of Bruins to discuss later on. But
no,
like,
we'll get into Bruins coming up next. Okay. Game one is out.
Let's tease that out.
Game one is coming up at 8 o'clock, so we still have time to talk about your game seven thoughts, the goalie situation, Pastrnak, all that on the table for you guys at 617-779-7937. 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. We'll get right back to the Bruins coming up next here on WEEI. Rich Keefe Show with Fitzy here on WEEI.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on demand content updated daily. Now, more of the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Back here on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI, Fitzy in the house on this full tang Monday night. You can join the program at 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones before we get to our bet du jour. We got Mike in Florida. He's up next. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Scoops. Fitz. What's up? Nice to talk to you. Mm-hmm. It is great to have a full tang.
Sure is.
It's sometimes I'll forget the schedule, and when I hear the abbreviated intro song, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, same.
Here we go.
Same.
Because that's the first hint.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I always tell you, just to get started, is that thank you for understanding that sports is an escape and that we can have some fun with it, too. And
yes,
you're one of the few guys that still believes that sports can be fun and you don't have to have a heart attack over it. Secondly, regarding last night, talk about fantastic. I mean, for Patriots fans, I've heard it all day. It's Patriots porn for us Patriots fans because we get all the inside jokes. But living down here near Tampa, it's fascinating. Of course, everybody hated Brady and Belichick down here until Brady came, right? Mm-hmm. And then they loved Brady. But everyone continued to hate Belichick. And it was interesting around the office today, so many people could know I'm a Patriots fan were like, you know, that Belichick, he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's an interesting guy. He's an engaging guy. People were saying that, you know what, Bill has a real future outside of football. Well, not outside of football, outside of coaching. And it was just interesting to see the non-Patriots reaction to Bill. They were surprised, and now they're all like, we love this guy. Just interesting. I thought I would let you know from deep in Buccaneer country.
No, thank you, Mike, for the call. That interesting perspective
good
on
stuff.
That as well. Yeah, Belichick has, even though no NFL team wants him to be their head coach, he's come out of this thing smelling like a rose. He was great on College Game Day all those months ago. He was great with McAfee during the draft. He's going to get me to watch the freaking Manning cast. I would never watch the Manning. I can't stand Peyton and Eli Manning. I never will be able to stand those guys. But now, Bill Belichick doing some stuff on Monday Night Football, like, I'll probably watch that. See what he does?
Yeah, he's going to be a regular on McAfee on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
He will also, he's going to
do
be
Monday
like
Night Football,
every,
right?
Every other
know.
Manning cast. Yeah. Yep, yeah. He signed a deal with Omaha Productions, doing the book. You know, it's funny. It took a while for me to appreciate just how happy Tom Brady was and how good things looked for him once he went down to Tampa. And, you know, at first I was just reviled by the Tommy and Gronky webisodes and everything.
Yeah, that was
but
something.
It was when I saw him hammered on that flotilla with his seventh Lombardi in the big Tampa, you know, floating Super Bowl parade.
And then he threw the trophy to Gronk on
a
boat.
Oh, God. Yeah. And Vivi's just like, no, Daddy. He's like, hey,
no!
YOLO, I'm Tom Brady, bitch.
Yeah.
And just throws it.
Uh-huh.
And he was so happy. He's like, damn it. You know what? He's happy now. This is good for him. This is where he needed to be. Bill Belichick was so in the thick of all of this for so long. And obviously they had wanted to make big changes that he was not on board with at Gillette and with the Patriots, that he now is getting the adulation and love that he deserves. So what? There was no great send-off party in January in that craptacular game in the snow against the Jets. What he's getting now for a victory lap is insane. And I still bet that he's going to be there June 12th, and I guarantee you, Gillette will rock when they introduce him.
Yeah.
As if somebody just scored that, like when Steph Gilmore knocked down the Dede Westbrook pass in January 2018.
It might be even a bigger ovation than Brady.
Yep.
Just because he got kicked during this dynasty thing, and people are upset with Kraft, and they are very pro Belichick right now. Mm-hmm. Well, much more on the roast. Feel free to call in with your thoughts on this thing throughout the evening. But let's get a winner here. Bet du jour time. You got Bruins are in action tonight. You got a couple NBA playoff games. You got baseball games across the board. Fitzy, what do you got tonight for a winner?
Tempted to go to the Bruins game. I was thinking pasta anytime goal or just Bruins money line. I don't know. I feel like they're going to come in with a house money approach.
They are plus.
But I'm taking the chalk on this one. I'm going to go to the association. Zero chance the reigning NBA world champion Denver Nuggets go back to Minnesota down 0-2. And there's no juice on the money line. I think they're minus 270 tonight. I think they can win by 7 points. So give me the Nuggets covering 6.5 tonight at home against the Timberwolves.
And Rudy Gobert, I think, is questionable. I think he just had his first kid. So I don't know if he's going to be there or not for the T-Wolves. Mm. The T-Wolves haven't lost, and Anthony Edwards has been insane.
He's,
Anthony Edwards stuff is crazy. He's an all-timer.
Over 240-plus point games already in one postseason, and he just entered the second round?
He had some stat. Yeah, he had a 43 and a 40 his last two games. So game four when they swept Phoenix, he had 40. Then he had 43 in game one against Denver. He had a 36 and a 33 already. There was some stat about his age and the amount of points in the playoffs, and it was him, LeBron, Kobe, like Lou Alcindor, maybe. Like it was like a ridiculous.
Back when he was Lou Alcindor.
I know, it might have been. No, it was like an insane list that he is currently on. I'm also going to go NBA. Give me the New York Knicks to keep it going. They're home to the Pacers in game one of that series. They're 5.5 point favorites, so I'll take Jalen Brunson and the Knicks laying the 5.5. Stiz, what do you have?
Whew, sorry, I've been running around here, boys. But I am going to the Bruins game. I do like the money line, which is plus 140. However, I'm going to go the 60-minute line. Oh. Bruins plus 235.
Ooh.
Give me
what is
that
the 60-minute line? Give
no,
me that again,
overtime please. Doesn't count. So if it's tied after overtime, you lose that bet.
That's right.
So if they win in three periods, then it's what is it, plus 235?
Plus 235.
Man.
Wow, that's
Stock
nice.
Stockyard on me.
That's a good
about time, maybe baby. I've been waiting for that next bucket of meat.
All right, go ahead.
I was just going to ask Rich. I missed the first couple minutes, obviously, when I was coming back from Little League practice, and I'm not sure exactly how much Bruins you did on top. Did you see that Jeremy Swayman stat that Boston Sports Info posted?
No, but is it about comparing him to like Tim Thomas, or is it what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I know we got plenty of Bruins to discuss later on. But
no, we'll get into Bruins coming up next. Okay. Game one is out.
Let's tease that out.
Game one is coming up at 8 o'clock, so we still have time to talk about your game seven thoughts, the goalie situation, Pastrnak, all that on the table for you guys at 617-779-7937. 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. We'll get right back to the Bruins coming up next here on WEEI.